Well, good evening, everyone. And as I said before, this evening's talk is going to be on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I think before I go into the nitty gritty, let's pray together. Okay. Father, we thank you that we can gather and over your word. Our aim this evening is to bring glory to the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit as we chat, as we share, and as we listen. I pray too, Father, that you would eliminate anything that is from the flesh and make it null and void, that it would not rest in our hearts or in our minds, but only that which is from the Holy Spirit would come to rest upon us. So we thank you, Father, that we can gather and talk over your word. And I pray too, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, and that you would reveal yourself to us through your word in the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of Jesus in a new and a living way. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So we have a look at the opening slide there. It says baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I hope this evening I'm going to bring a new perspective to you on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what it is and what it means to us and how it affects our daily walk as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And here we have a scripture, John 16, 13 to 15. And this is Jesus talking to the disciples. And it's just before his ascension. He's been resurrected and he appears for 40 days to a number of people, including the disciples. And here he's talking to the disciples, and he can see that they're a bit upset that he's going away to the Father. And he says this to them. He says, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, so we can see that the Holy Spirit is definitely a he, is male. When he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me. He will glorify Jesus, because it is from Jesus, from me, that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's Jesus. That is why I said the Holy Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So here we see Jesus telling them that he needs to go to be with the Father. And they need not fear, because he will send, when he's there, he will send the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them in all truth. And he will remind them of what he's taught them. And this is the same for us today. Jesus has much more to tell us. As he said to the disciples, he has much more to tell us. And he does this through the Holy Spirit. And this is where the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes in. Some theologians would say baptism in the Holy Spirit or baptism with the Holy Spirit. To me, it's all the same. So the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives and us being baptized with the Holy Spirit is evident there right from the start as Jesus is talking to the disciples. So, and you know, I want just to remind you of these three verses here, and this is something that whenever I personally study something in the Bible, I bear these three things in mind, because I think it's so important for us to know these three verses. And the first one is Hebrews 13:8, and it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus doesn't change. He wants to speak to the disciples then, and he wants to speak to us now. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus doesn't change. And then 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We know these verses. They're all very well-known verses. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God breathed. It is inerrant. Okay, it's the truth. When Jesus talks about the Spirit of truth, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Bible. Jesus is the Bible in the flesh. It is the Spirit of truth, the truth that we find in the Bible. Okay, and why? So that the servant of God, me and you, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to empower us. So we'll get more into that as we go along. But let's have a look at the third one. Matthew 4, verse 4 says this. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And every word that is written in the Bible has proceeded from the mouth of God. And Jesus says there's much more he wants to tell us, and that he does through the Holy Spirit. So if we can go on to the next slide, I'll see if I can. There we go, it worked. Thanks, James, you kick-started it for me. Thank you very much. Now, how does the Holy Spirit relate to us as individual believers in what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So how does he do that? Well, let's have a look at the Godhead, or the Holy Trinity. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So although the Holy Trinity, or the Godhead, is one God, when he relates to the world, that is us, you and I, standing here today, he is three distinct persons. He is the Father, he is the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Trinity. So in the Trinity, God the Father is the supreme creator. He created all things. Jesus is the Son, our Saviour, God coming to earth in the flesh as the Son to be our Saviour, to take our sins upon him. And the Holy Spirit is God in action, the power of God in action. And he's our comforter and guide, and he's so much more than all that. So that's the setup we have with the Holy Trinity in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each one is key, and together as the Godhead, they rule and reign supreme in the lives of Christians, hopefully. So if we look at slide four now, we got John 16:12-15, and it's the same as the one we read above. I still have many things to say to you. I mentioned this earlier on, but you cannot bear them now. I've got much more to say to you, but you won't be able to bear it now. He's talking to the disciples again. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what is made known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what will make what he will make known to you. So Jesus has a lot more to say to us, and he does this through the Holy Spirit. And this is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be as one. It's our connection to the Father, the Holy Spirit. He is our connection to the Father and the Son. And of course, Jesus is the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, and with him is the Holy Spirit. So we have access to the throne room of God. God sees believers, us. He sees you and I as sinless, as we belong to Jesus. He's our Lord and he's our Saviour. And now, because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, he has sent the Holy Spirit to be with us as our counsellor, to lead us in all truth, to fulfil God's purpose for us here on earth. Everything the Holy Spirit does is for the glory of Jesus. And when we're moving in the Spirit, we're baptised with the Holy Spirit, everything we do should be to the glory of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And with the Holy Spirit guiding us, everything we do as believers should also glorify Jesus. Jesus lives in us and through us by the Holy Spirit. So I would say that without the Holy Spirit, it would probably be impossible for us to bring glory to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's have a look, go on now to what is meant by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when a believer, a born-again Christian, receives power from on high, from God. Okay, so that's what's meant there. In Luke 24:49, we are told this. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. That's not there, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And Matthew 3:11 says this. I, and it's John the Baptist speaking here, baptize you with water, those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone, Jesus, is coming soon who is greater than I am. He's referring to Jesus. So much greater than I am, I'm not worthy to even be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So here we have again is confirmation how important it is for us to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay. And if we move on to John 14, verse 12, you won't find these on the screen. I've got them in front of me here. So, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. So Jesus going to the Father, he's ascending to be with the Father, at the right hand of the Father, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit to us. So in John 16, 17, Jesus says this to us. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's important that he goes away. For if I go not away, if he doesn't go away, the Comforter or the Holy Spirit will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That's the King James Version. And in Luke 10:19, he says, Jesus himself tells that he will give us power. And how does he do this? So we'll see. Luke 10:19 says, I've given you authority. Jesus has given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. But we have to be prudent about this. You don't go out grabbing snakes here, there and everywhere because you'll be in trouble. Talk about being led by the Holy Spirit as Jesus is. So, okay, I'll move on. There we go. Who is that one? Okay. Who are we baptized with the Holy Spirit by? Okay, who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit? And it's Jesus himself who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. So Matthew 3:11-12, I'm using the Amplified version here. It says, as for me, this is John the Baptist talking, I baptize you with water because of your repentance. That is because you are willing to change your inner self, your old way of thinking. Regret your sin and live a changed life. But he, Jesus, the Messiah, who is coming after me, is mightier, more powerful, more noble than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to remove, even as his slave. He will baptize you who truly repent, those who truly repent, with the Holy Spirit, and you who remain unrepentant, with fire. And that signifies judgment. So in this verse, John is talking and he's telling us that the one who's coming after him, of course, is Jesus. And it's Jesus that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2:33, it says this, exalted to the right hand of God, he, Jesus, has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. This is at Pentecost, where the tongues of fire come. And we are told that it's Jesus who poured out the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Okay. So how are we baptized with the Holy Spirit? Okay. So there's a number of ways which we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we can't put God in a box. You know, I've mentioned four things here, but you know, we can't put God in a box. He's sovereign and he will do what he will do. These are just a few that are mentioned in the Bible. How are we baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, it's by an impartation through spiritual words, for example, preaching or prayer. And in Acts 10:44, it says that while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. And in Acts 10:44, it says, Peter stood up and spoke boldly in the power of the Holy Spirit. And quite a few thousand people got saved that day. So people were baptized with the Holy Spirit through the impartation of the Word of God. And it can also happen through prayer as well. The second one I have is by an impartation through the laying on of hands, okay, which is an impartation from one person to another, laying hands on someone and praying for them. And we have two examples of this. It's Acts 8:17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then the second one is also from Acts 19. Verse 6, it says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was the tongues and the prophecy. It's not that they were filled because they speak in tongues. It was the evidence of them being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the speaking on of tongues after the laying on of hands is a physical evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's a physical evidence. A third one we have is by a combination of A and B, prayer and on the laying on of hands, which stands to reason. And then the fourth one is by whatever way God chooses. I say you can't put God in a box. He moves sovereignly and he will do what he will do when he will do, but it'll always be to the recipient's benefit. It'll always be to our benefit. Okay, so in John 20, verses 21 and 22, it says this. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So here we have an evidence of Jesus was breathing on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Sorry. That's okay, sorry. So then they received the Holy Spirit. And this sort of brings me back to when God created Adam, doesn't it? And he made him out of the dust of the ground and he breathed on him, the ruach. The Hebrew word is ruach, and he breathed on Adam, the breath of God, which refers to the Spirit of God or a wind, but it's the actual Spirit of God that he breathed. And it says Adam became a living being. And that's a very similar thing to what Jesus did with the disciples, and they became spiritually alive, as it were, because he breathed on them the breath of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so moving on, why is it important for Christians to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Why is it important for Christians to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Well, first and foremost, I think it's good for us to follow the example of Jesus. And in John 1:32, it says this: "Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven, from the Father, as a dove and remain on him." It remained on him. And that is an evidence from John the Baptist. John the Baptist saw this, the dove come from heaven, as it were, a dove, and settled upon Jesus. Okay? So the word tells us to be imitators of Christ. Imitate, and Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So I think it's incumbent upon us as Christians to imitate Christ himself and do the things, you know. Christ was water baptized, therefore it's good for us to be baptized. And he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, so it's good for us to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the second point, why is it important for Christians to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, is to receive power from God to enable us to be overcomers of this world in Christ Jesus, and to be effective witnesses for Jesus on this world. And if we look at Acts 1 verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." So the Holy Spirit empowers us to be effective witnesses. He gives us boldness to speak the word, as Peter stood up and spoke the word. And a couple of thousand, 4,000 odd got saved that day. And Luke 24:49 says this: "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised." So the Holy Spirit is something, or someone, I should say, that the Father has promised each and every believer. And that's the Holy Spirit. "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And of course that happened at Pentecost. Okay. And the next point is to be able to do great things in the name of Jesus. So here we have in John 14 verse 12, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." That's again, he's telling the disciples, he has to go to be with the Father because that's the Father's will for him. But we're not going to be left as orphans. We have the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't be left as orphans. We have a Father in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is our connection to him. Next point is that why we baptized is in the Holy Spirit is to enable us to live life in the Spirit. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Ian did a teaching on Romans 8, which is probably one of my favourite chapters, and it tells us all about living life in the Spirit. And read it for yourselves, it will change your life. And I'll just give an extract of Romans 8 verses 5 to 8. It says this: "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God." How important is it for us as Christians to be in the Spirit and not the flesh? It's so important that we live life in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Okay. Our next point is for the spiritual gifts to be manifest in us and through us. Okay. The spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. And I'll just read 1 Corinthians 12:4-11 to you. "There are diversities of gifts, so the gifts of the Spirit, but the same Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Spirit of God, only one Spirit of Jesus. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, okay, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, working together with the Father. It's a prime example of how the Holy Trinity moves within us. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The gifts of the Spirit, I'm not going to go into too much detail because that's a topic all on its own, but the gifts of the Spirit are given to us for the benefit of all. We receive them, but it's not just for us. Okay, we benefit from them, but it's for us to give to others, to build up and edify our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit, so that each one of us will profit by it. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one, this is the key, but one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So without us receiving the Holy Spirit, we cannot operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And it's important for us to operate in the gifts of the Spirit so that the body of Christ can be built up and edified. And Paul talks about that in Ephesians 4, I think it is. Okay, so that's for the spiritual gifts to be manifest in us and through us. Another point is that it is the Holy Spirit that gives us spiritual life in Christ Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us spiritual life. James 2:26 says this: as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. As the body without the Spirit is dead. Okay, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, our body is dead. And then once we have the Holy Spirit, we can do the deeds that God has predestined us to do. Okay, that's walking in the Spirit. And last but by no means least, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. And Luke 11:13 says this: if you then, though you are evil, he's talking to me now, you though, then you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? To those that ask. If you don't ask, you won't receive. Okay, you've got to, you know, the Holy Spirit, like God and like Jesus, never infringes on our freedom to choose, our free will, as people say. He never infringes that. We need to ask him. And if you know, if you want to be a powerful, spirit-filled Christian walking to maturity, you need to ask God for the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And we can't receive the spiritual gifts if we don't have the Holy Spirit within us. Okay. The power we receive from the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, will help us in our daily walk as born-again Christians on that walk to maturity. It's a sanctifying process as we walk with the Holy Spirit and to maturity. We walk from the milk to the meat of the Word, and we grow in maturity. The Holy Spirit is the power of God through Jesus, and we are freely given the power of the Holy Spirit. So eagerly desire the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God longs for us to move in that power and be his witnesses to the nations. That's one of the objects, is the Great Commission, to be witnesses to those around us, to the world around us. John 20:22, I'm reading from the Amplified version, says this: and when he, Jesus, said this, I've read this to you earlier on, he breathed on them, his disciples, and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And then they went out to be his witnesses. Acts 1:8 says, Jesus speaking again, but you receive power from on high and ability. You receive power and ability. I'm reading for the Amplified again. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell all people about who? About Jesus. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and throughout the world. Did that change? No, there we go. So, the benefits we receive on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. This sounds like a shopping list, but everything God, because God loves us so much, everything he does for us is for our benefit. He doesn't do anything that will hurt us or harm us. It's for our benefit so that we can grow in Christ Jesus. He gives us spiritual life. Number one, he gives us spiritual life. And I referred to this earlier on, Jesus 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And in some translations, man became a living soul. And Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Our spiritual life comes from the Holy Spirit. John 6:63 says this, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. Okay, the words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit. And when they're full of the Spirit, they are thus full of life. So when we are full of the Spirit, we are full of life, God-given life in Christ Jesus. And we can be effective witnesses because of that, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the filling of the Holy Spirit is a continuous thing. It's not just a one-off thing, it's continuous. Paul tells us to be not drunk with wine, but continually filled. And that's a present continuous tense, I believe. So that means that it's an ongoing thing. Okay, second one, he will always know where we are, both physically and spiritually. We have no place to... We have no place to hide. Sorry, folks. God always knows where we are because we have the Holy Spirit within us. He knows where we are. He knows how you're feeling right now at this point in time. He knows what problems you're facing. He knows exactly where you are. And David says, Psalm 139:7, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? There's nowhere we can go to avoid being detected or known by the Holy Spirit of where we are. We cannot hide. There's no place to hide. Okay, item three, he is the giver of prophecy, dreams and visions. These verses we know well. Acts 2:17, which is quoted from Joel 2:28. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and Ray and Ian will have dreams. The old men will have dreams. So there we go. The old men will have dreams. So he's the giver of all these things. So, yeah, we have the dream, Ian, and we send out people with a vision. That's cool. Right. And four, he gives us power to be effective witnesses to the world in the name of Jesus. And I've read that from Acts 1:8, but I'll read it again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We will become effective witnesses. Okay, the Holy Spirit, number five, the Holy Spirit leads us on God's path. For our lives, it's the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us on the path that the Father has willed for us. We each have a path to tread that God has willed for us, and in that path he has that the, our purpose and our plan that he has for us, it's Father's will. We need to be attaining the Father's will in our lives, and we must become nothing. Jesus must become everything. So he leads us on God's path for our lives. Psalm 143:10 says this, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." And that is the path that God has for us. So the writer of the psalm there knew the Holy Spirit. And 2 Peter 1:21 says this, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through humans, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And there's a verse in the Bible, I can't think which one, it says, "Do not despise the speaking of tongues," and tongues is another form of prophecy. So let's aspire to be filled with the Holy Spirit as a church, as individuals. Acts 13:4 says this, "The two of them," which is Barnabas and Saul, "were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus." So that was Paul's first missionary trip, and he was chosen to do that by God. He was set aside by the Holy Spirit. He and Barnabas were set aside by the Holy Spirit on the first missionary trip, which went to Galatia. Yeah, did I change it?
Yeah.
I pressed the button at the same time. How's that? Sorry?
I think you can put it down.
Yeah. Another one. Another one. Gee, I depressed it a lot. Another one.
Or back one.
Back one. I can't see. There we go. Right. Yeah, you can see I'm not very good at this. Anyway, praise the Lord. Point six, he gives strength to our inner being to accomplish the things that the Father has given us to do by faith in Christ Jesus. So Ephesians 4:3-17 says this, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that at his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being," our inner man, our inner self, our souls will be strengthened. And in John 14:12, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." Point seven, he will be our second advocate, Jesus being the first. One like Jesus who intercedes with the Father on our behalf, and he will live in us. So that's John 14:16-17. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." So the first one being Jesus, "to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Okay, so we have two intercessors on our behalf. One is Jesus and the other is the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Point eight is, he is truth and will lead us in all truth. He will see from Jesus what we need to know and what will bring glory to Jesus. He will reveal to us what we need to know in our Christian walk, in our path to maturity, in what we need to do in accordance with the Father's will. John 16:13 says this, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me," that's Jesus, "because it is from me," Jesus, "that he will receive what he will make known to you." So Jesus reveals to the Holy Spirit, who reveals to us what he wants us to know and to do. Point nine, he helps us overcome our weaknesses by interceding for us in accordance with God's will for us. If we live life in the Spirit, we are assured that we are living accordance to the Father's will. And Romans 8, 26, 27 says this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with the will of God, which ensures us that we can walk in the will of God. And point 10 says he gives us revelation directly from the Father. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 9 to 13 says this. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows the person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. That is what we speak. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with taught words. Men wrote the Bible in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this is why it's so important for every believer to know the Word of God. Because it's through the Word that the Holy Spirit is manifest in us and through us. Point 11, through the Holy Spirit, our bodies become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Nope. There we go. Just leave it as it is. When we follow the path of God, through the Holy Spirit, our bodies become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are to honour God with our bodies. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20.
If you go forward two.
Go forward two. I'm not very good at this clicking, am I? There we go. There we go. We'll get there. So, through the Holy Spirit, our bodies become a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 16, 18 to 20 says this. Certain things we have to do first is, one of them is flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. We were bought at a price. We are not alone, our own. We belong to God. Point 12. When we follow the path of God's love, the Holy Spirit gives us the gifts of the Spirit for us to use to build up and edify each other, thus bringing glory to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says this, I'm reading from the Amplified. Pursue love with eagerness, make it your goal, yet earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts to be used by believers for the benefit of the church. It's not a selfish thing for you to use. When we get the gifts freely, you've received, freely give. We must use those gifts to build up the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But especially that you may prophesy, to foretell the future, to speak a new message from God to the people. We need the spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit to build each other up, to edify each other. Can you imagine what a powerful church is that is moving in the Holy Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, building each other up, It's mind-boggling. Item point 13. When we live by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be manifest in us and through us. And this life in the Spirit enables us to overcome our sinful nature and its worldly passions and desires. Galatians 5:22-26 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I know Francis can quote these, so I can't. Is love, joy, peace, forbearance, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I sometimes struggle with that one myself, that's for sure. Against such things, there's no law. Okay. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit. And John 15, verse 8 says this. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, first showing yourselves to be my disciples. We need to be bearing fruit. And I think first and foremost, the fruit we need to be bearing is the fruit of the Spirit. And out of that will come our works. When we're loving and we're living with in kindness and showing kindness and goodness to others and we're long-suffering. Many pastors know all about long-suffering. When we're operating, when the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit are manifest in us and through us, we will be bearing much fruit in what God has for us to do, because the works that God has for us will stem from the fruit of the Spirit. Point 14, he is a flame within us that we are instructed by Jesus not to smother or put out, be unresponsive to or quench. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says this, do not quench, I'm reading from the Amplified, do not quench, subdue or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Don't quench it, don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Do not scorn or reject gifts of prophecy or prophecies, which are spoken revelations. So do not scorn those things. Do not quench or subdue the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. Be guided by him in all you do. Everything we do as Christians. Buying a house. Meaning when Jackie goes to buy special outfits, she says, Lord, lead me to that right handbag and the right. And he does. And he usually gives he usually finds a great dress or a great handbag. At half price, you know, it's a special offer, so bargain price. So, yeah, it's amazing, and Jackie always gets the parking right outside the front door where I've got to drive around, you know. Point 15, he sanctifies us and leads us through the Word to spiritual maturity in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 2:30, and I'm reading for the Amplified again, says this. But we should and are morally obligated as debtors always to give thanks to God for you, believers beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that sets you apart for God's purpose, his work for us, and by your faith in the truth of God's word that leads you to spiritual maturity.
I think you've gone the wrong way.
Have I gone the wrong way again? I'll have to put this down and only pick it up when I need to change. Yeah. I'll remember that next time. Yeah, so there we go. That brings me to the end. Apart from this, we have to seek and nurture a relationship with Holy Spirit as we do with the Lord. And the gifts of the Spirit are there for those that ask for them. So if you have a desire to walk to maturity, we need to be in step with the Holy Spirit. So maybe tonight, as we pray, maybe we can just spend some time soaking in the Holy Spirit. You know, the baptism, the word baptism is a Greek word, and it comes from baptizo. And one story I've read says that the weavers of cloth and the dyers of the cloth in those days would submerge their cloth in the dye and soak it in that dye, and they called that was baptizo. They would soak, they immerse their cloth in, and they come up with these beautiful royal colours and what have you. And that's sort of a symbol of how we need to be with the Holy Spirit. Let's soak in His presence. We do need to be baptized, and we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You know the story of the woman with an issue of blood, and she touched the hem of the Lord's garment in the crowd, and it said he felt power go out of him. And I think this is why we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, because we do get depleted, whether it's from the taint of the world or whether we slipped up and said a wee sweary or something like that, you know. And we actually need to be topped up all the time. And we used to sing that song, "My cup is full and running over," as kids. Running over, running over, my cup is full and running over. And that's how our cup needs to be. The cup of the Holy Spirit needs to be full and running over all the times. Maybe it's just running over, it goes empty. So you need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's close in prayer. Yes, Abba Father, I pray that you would fill us now with your Holy Spirit, that we may be changed in our innermost being, and that we may follow the path you have for our lives, that we may move in the power of the Holy Spirit to the benefit of others and bring glory and honour to the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.